and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
So I've been at college all week, every single day, from stupid o'clock in the morning until silly o'clock at night, trying to learn some stuff to pass a degree that sometimes I question why I'm doing it. But it's the Church of England College, and so Christmas is like everywhere at the moment, and I've loved it. And I've really been a great time all week to be able to think about Christmas and think about what I love about Christmas. So I was just wondering, what are some people's favourite bits about Christmas? Like, shout them out, let me know. What is your favourite thing about Christmas?
Brussels sprouts.
Really? You weirdo. Anybody else got an actual favourite thing about Christmas?
Turkey.
Turkey. All right, I'm getting a bit more on board with this. Christmas lights, yes. Family getting together. What else? Come on. Presents. I knew Tammy would say that. What else? Christmas carols. Yes, I love Christmas carols. What else? Is there anything else you love? Christmas pudding. See, I wouldn't agree with you, but I'll let you have yours. It's fine. Tacky Christmas parties. Oh, yeah. God, I love the tacky Christmas. I love bread sauce. I don't know if anybody else has bread sauce with their Christmas dinner, but it's my favourite part of the Christmas dinner. That and pigs in blankets. Oh. Christmas trees from Thompson's. And a nice little plug. A nice little plug in there. Well done. Someone's trying to get a discount at Thompson's, but it's fine. We'll let that happen. There are so many things that we as a nation love about Christmas. I think it's one of those things that, I don't know about you, but I notice a change, especially growing up in London. London seems to change at Christmas. Like, everyone's a little less harsh. I mean, you still can't talk to anybody on the tube, but it's just, you know, everyone's a little bit more cheery. It's like, oh, there are Christmas lights in Oxford Street. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? I'm going to elbow people less while I do my shopping. You know, it's a little bit nicer. It's a little bit... So it just gives a little bit of a warm and fuzzy feeling inside, doesn't it, Christmas? And I think one of the great things about Christmas that's kind of recognised by people, whether they're Christian or not, is that it's a time of love, it's a time of unity, and it's a time of giving, as Tammy has reminded us, of presents. And I have to admit, that is one of my favourite things, especially since my parents got really like into getting us what we wanted for Christmas rather than what they thought we should have. I remember one Christmas coming down, and we used to open our stockings before we went to church on Sunday. And we came down, and my sister was unwrapping her stocking. And my sister was always the most excited about Christmas. She was the one that woke us up at stupid o'clock in the morning on Christmas and all that kind of stuff. Even when she was like 22, she still did it. So she woke us up, and we went down, and we opened our stockings. And my sister pulled out this present from her stocking to open before we had to go to church and be nice to people and all that stuff. And my mum had got her books on etiquette. And the look on my sister's face was just the best thing about that Christmas for me. Obviously not for her. She hated it. But I was just like, that's hilarious. I love it so much. Fast forward a few years, and I got a Christmas card from my mum yesterday, which was a really nice Christmas card. And I was really excited because she'd asked for my new address like a few weeks ago. And I was like, oh, why do you want to know? She's like, oh, you know, just for the address book. My mum doesn't have an address book. And so I was like, okay, fine. And I knew something was coming, and I was really excited. And I was like, what are they going to give me money? Are they going to give me like tickets or something? I'm really excited. And I opened the card, and the card was completely blank inside. Because my mum had been so busy doing other things that she was like, I'm going to write Martha a Christmas card. Empty Christmas card in an envelope, write my address, pay the postage. But that's just sometimes what happens at Christmas, isn't it? We get so busy, and so everything gets a bit crazy, doesn't it? And there's loads of stuff going on. And I don't know about you, but I've been really busy the last couple of weeks trying to get loads of stuff done for Christmas. And I haven't done any Christmas shopping yet. And so I'm just trying to get everything done. And it's a really busy time in our lives. And I think it's kind of a thing, especially if you go to church regularly, it's kind of just part of your routine, Christmas. You know, you kind of get into this thing where you're like, start of December, so we're going to light some candles. Or not, maybe we'll forget. And we're going to do all this stuff that we do every year, and we're going to read these verses that Chris read to us today. And I hear them every single year at Christmas, at some point or another. They're really famous, and they're, you know, they're told to us every single year as a promise that God's going to give us a son, and that's all great and it's all true. But we hear them so much, and we hear lots of other Christmas things so much, that it just kind of blows over your head a little. Like, I don't know about you, but like sometimes I hear the Christmas prophecies or the story of the Nativity in one of the Gospels, and I'm like, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, that's a cool story, isn't it? Yeah, I like the fact that Jesus was predicted thousands of years before he was. That's nice. Cool. We move on now? We're going to sing the next carol? Great. You know, it just kind of, you let it wash over your head a bit. But Christmas is like an amazing moment in the Christian calendar. And I think sometimes we brush over it as it being nice, as it being about unity and love and forgiveness and all those great things. And it becomes about that. But actually, that moment in Bethlehem is amazing. It's like crazy. And thinking about it while I've been preparing this, this message kind of has really reminded me just how cool it was what happened. And so today I'm just going to take a few minutes of your time. It's not going to be very long, but I'm just going to unpack what it means for the creator of the universe, the person that flung stars into space and was there at the very beginning of time to come down to Earth as a baby and put himself at risk for us. So, yeah. Like I said, well, they're verses we hear a lot, and they have quite a lot to say about peace. You know, that he's the Prince of Peace, and of his peace there will be no end. And I sometimes don't notice that about these verses. You know, there's like Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, but Prince of Peace doesn't normally hit me. And I look around the world today, thousands of years after Jesus came down to Earth, and I kind of think that peace is the one thing that we're really missing. Not just in terms of the craziness that's going on in Yemen and Nigeria and Syria, or the mental things that are happening in politics, not just in this country, but in America and in Africa and all these places. It's not just that kind of peace I think we're missing. I think the world today is so, like, just busy. Do you not feel that? Do you feel like you're a bit busy? Yeah? I feel like everybody is so busy, and more we don't really have time to just sit and be, you know? Like, you don't have time to just relax and just chill out. I feel like a lot of the time you're working towards your next day off or your next holiday because you hope that then you'll be able to relax and you'll be able to rest. And maybe that's why you're excited about Christmas. Maybe you're excited about Christmas because you get to have some time off of work and you get to relax and you just get to be. Or maybe you're dreading Christmas because it's just going to get busier and you're just going to have to see all these people that you don't really want to see, and you're going to have to make polite conversation and it's just going to be hectic and you're not going to feel peace at all. I don't know what side of the scale you're on. I think I'm probably somewhere in the middle where I'm kind of looking forward to having some time off, especially from college. But also I'm going to have to go and travel and see people, and it's just a bit of, well, is that really a holiday if you have to do all that stuff? Am I going to get to rest? Because life is so busy. And in life, people climb mountains and go on holiday and drive to the middle of nowhere and spend hundreds of millions of pounds on books to try and find peace. You know, there's like a whole industry of literature all about finding the inner calm and your inner self and finding rest and all that kind of stuff. And if you pick up one of these books, they're ridiculous. Like, there was a time in my life where I was like, I wonder if these are the answer. And I flicked through them and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to throw up. That's disgusting. And I threw them away. Like, they're just giving you answers to problems that they don't really have the answers for. And maybe you're one of those people that needs peace. Maybe you're one of those people that is just feeling really restless. Maybe you're really worried about the state of the world, like I think a lot of us are. Maybe you're really anxious about work or about family situations. Maybe you're just a bit tense and you haven't really relaxed in quite a long time. But today I want to really look at that. What does it mean for Jesus to be the Prince of Peace? When I was 19, I was really struggling with this concept of peace. I don't think I'd really ever felt peace in my life. I'd been a Christian for about 4 years by this point, but I didn't really know peace. I didn't really know what it felt to be calm and feel rested and feel just to be there and be okay. And I was trying to live life as if I was okay. I put up this facade of being like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, I'm totally cool. Like, I totally can do everything you want me to do. It's no problem, whatever. Like, just give me more jobs to do. I'll be fine. It doesn't matter. And I would take on stuff and take on stuff and take on people's problems. I, for some reason, was somebody that people would just come and vent to, and I'd be like, okay, and take all that on myself. And I had no peace. And I was struggling, and I was stressed, and I was... Oh, it was the worst. And I remember feeling that way. I remember feeling so tense all the time. And you can't live like that. You just can't do it. And it got to a point. I was 19 years old, and I lost it. I just couldn't do it anymore. One day I just went to my room and I cried and cried and cried, and I just thought, that's it. I'm broken. I was 19 years old, and I thought I was beyond repair. I thought, this is it. Like, I'm going to have to be put into a hospital of some description, and that's the end of Martha. Like, no more, I can't do this anymore. And luckily, at the time, I was living on a ship that also had 400 other Christians living there, and I wasn't in a cabin alone, because that would be too nice for a missionary to have their own space. So my cabin mate came in, and she kind of looked at me, one of my cabin mates came in, she looked at me and she was just like, you're not okay, are you? And I was like, well, how perceptive of you. No, I'm not. And then I remembered that Germans didn't get sarcasm, so I thought I'd be nicer. And we had a bit of a chat, and she just kind of left it. And I was a bit like, oh, that didn't really help me at all. Like, I vented, but I still feel really tense. I still feel a bit crap, to be honest. And I went up, because you have to. I went to worship night, and I just sat at the back, and I listened to the songs, and I just felt like they're a lie. Like, we were singing about, like, Holy Spirit being peace and light, and I was just like, no, he's not. Like, I feel rubbish. Like, why are we singing about this? It's just not true. And someone came up to me, and I hadn't actually met them before, and they sat down next to me and they said, can I pray for you? And you can't really say, if you're a missionary on a Christian ship with 400 other Christians, you cannot say no to somebody praying for you. I've tried, it doesn't work. So I just went, yes, you can pray for me. And I sat there. And he was like, well, can you hold your hands out? And I was like, fine, I'll hold my hands out. And I just kind of was there, and I was like, okay, God, I'm going to give you a chance. And I expected there to be, like, an amazing moment with fireworks and, like, sound cannons and confetti, and all my problems would be fixed, and it would be amazing. But actually, he just prayed, dear Lord, give Martha true peace. And I was like, is that it? I could have prayed that. In fact, I have prayed that. And I was so angry that his prayer wasn't more powerful. I was so angry that there weren't any confetti cannons or, you know, I was like, where's me falling over and being filled with the Holy Spirit and all that kind of stuff. But then when I stopped complaining internally, I said amen. And something happened. And it happened slowly. I wouldn't say that there was a moment where I was like, man, I have amazing peace. It's still something I'm working on today. But from that moment, I never held on to anything as tightly as I had done before. When people kind of offloaded their problems onto me, I didn't then think it was my responsibility. I gave it to God. I didn't think that all the bad stuff that we saw as part of our jobs was my fault or my thing to fix. I didn't see the bad stuff happening in the world at large as something that I had to take on. I gave it to God. And I think that's when the peace of God really started to fill me. That's when I really started to feel peaceful. It wasn't at a big cannonball moment. It was in the quiet and the times where I gave it to God. That was the time when I started to know the true Prince of Peace that these verses are talking about. Because of what happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, we can all know true peace, no matter what's happening in our lives. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be hurt. You don't have to hold on to things that have hurt you in the past. You don't have to fake it till you make it. You don't have to do any of those things. This place called church isn't a job. Like, it isn't a interview for a job where you have to put on your best self and you have to be like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm the greatest. Let me do a power stance before I go into the room so I feel like I can really sell myself. This is a waiting room for a hospital. Everybody here that's a Christian knows that they're broken, knows that they're not good enough, but they also know that somebody took their place. They also know, if you're here and you're a believer, then you're here because you've realised there's something in yourself that just isn't good enough and that you need to let Jesus in to deal with that. And when you do that, when you give it all to Jesus, That's when you start to have real peace. You see, Bethlehem is not the end of the story. It's not even the beginning, to be honest. Jesus coming down to earth is just one part of a story that stretches back to the moment that Adam and Eve ate the fruit in the Garden of Eden and sinned and separated themselves from God. From that moment, God's been working to get us back into relationship with him. And Jesus coming down at Bethlehem was just a part of that. Because that is when God started to pull all the bits into place so that you and I might be in relationship with him again. Jesus came down to Bethlehem and lived amongst us. He knew pain. He knew loss. He lost his cousin and he was killed in a really horrible way. He knew what it was like to feel hungry and to cry. And he felt what it was like to take on all of our sins. He lived a life doing amazing signs and wonders. And in his 30s, he took on all the bad stuff that we have ever done or will ever do so that we might be in relationship with his Father. He did it so that we might have life and have peace. And not just, you know, a bit, and it's, I'm a Christian and I have life and I have peace. Like 100% life and peace to the full. Jesus isn't about half measures. Jesus isn't about doing things that are just enough. Jesus is about coming down so that we might have life and have it to the full. And that counts for peace too. So if you're in a situation today, maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not, I don't know. But if you're in that place where you're feeling like you have no control, if you feel like you are holding on to things that are causing you to be restless, that are causing you to be scared, that are causing you to feel like you have to put on a facade to the people around you and pretend that you're okay. If you have a feeling inside of you that's like, actually, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm scared. Then I want to let you know that real peace is available. Real peace is attainable, and you don't have to worry anymore. Because of Bethlehem, you are not alone in your hard times. Because of Bethlehem, you can have peace in your heart and when chaos reigns in your life. And because of Bethlehem, we can be in a full and loving relationship with God, the creator of the universe. There is no limit to the peace and love that you can experience. Because of Bethlehem, Jesus can be our friend, our brother, and bring us into relationship with the Father, the creator of the universe, the amazing, amazing creator. So if you're here today and you want that peace, or you're here today and you don't know where you stand with Jesus, then I'm going to pray and everyone's going to close their eyes. And if you want that, then just invite God into your life. Invite him to bring you peace. Invite him to bring you joy. Invite him to change you from the inside out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son down from heaven to earth. We thank you that he came not as the king of a large standing army, not as someone who came to conquer and to revolutionize the way that the world was, but he came as a baby, just the same as we do into this world, God. And he grew up to be an amazing man who was both fully of you and fully of us. And we just pray that we might know that true peace that he came to give us, God. That we might give to you all the guilt and the pain and the hurt that we have been carrying around, and we might hand it over to know true peace, God. We pray that you might grant us life to the full. And Lord, if we are here today and we don't know you as our Saviour, we pray that you might reveal to us more of who you are, more of the love of who you are, God, and more of the peace of who you are. We thank you and praise you for all that you are doing in our lives and in this world today. And we pray that we might be people that point to you in this world of darkness, that point to the light in the hard times, God. In your name, amen. Now we're going to sing one last carol. If I find my sheet, I'll tell you which one it is. It's Joy to the World. I knew there was a reason I had a special carol. If this point, if you've got questions, if you don't know, if you want that real peace and you don't feel like you have it, then our prayer team will be seated over there at the end of the service after the carol, and they'd be more than happy to talk with you, to pray with you, and to, just minister to you. So let's sing Joy to the World. If you want to stand...